So thus saith the Lord, we're going to talk about, thus saith the Lord, we're going to talk about being a prophetic company. We're going to be talking about a people of God who know how to accurately tune themselves to the voice of God every moment of their lives. And to understand that God's voice and your voice lining up, it just brings God's kingdom into manifestation. God has chosen to get his word on your mouth. It says that salvation comes by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And so it comes, it comes to you and it hits your believer, but it's going to come into manifestation when it hits your speaker. So you got to prophesy. You got to prophesy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to prophesy. You have to. It is absolutely, it's an oxymoron to say I'm a believer who doesn't prophesy. Because believers prophesy. It's what they do. You prophesy. It should not be awkward. It should not be something you've never done. It should be something that you're very strong in, and not just strong in, but you excel in the prophetic. That's in the Bible. It's the same Bible that people misuse to tell you that it's not for today. They misuse. So we want to be accurate with our Bibles. Can I get an amen? Numbers 11:29, then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Two fellows in the parking lot didn't quite get to the meeting on time. The spirit fell and they began to prophesy. The 68 prophesied and those two prophesied. And Joshua was like, we got to kill them. They're prophesying out of order. It's out of order. We got to go kill them. I think prophecy in the parking lot is a bit of a problem. Why? Because all prophecy has to be judged. And as long as you got a few witnesses there and they can judge it, that's fine. But he was really upset with this. And then Moses responded by saying this. He said, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets. Are you all here? Now, this is Moses prophesying and declaring the passion in the heart of God. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, this is the old covenant. This is a picture that there's a day coming when that's going to be reality. The wish that Moses had that every single believer was saturated in the Holy Ghost and prophesying and declaring the words of God. That is God's heart and that is his intention. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to each one. The manifestation is given to each one. Is each one here? Does each one mean you? Yes. So the manifestation, now not the spirit, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to each one. The manifestation of the spirit is given to each one. And you know why it's given? To profit all. It's not given so you can say, look at me manifest the spirit. Whoopee-doo. It's probably not the spirit. It's probably a spirit for sure, but a spirit of pride. You see, if something's happening, it's because you love people, you care about people, and you want to release heavenly favors in and through your life. And I want you to receive a spiritual impartation that can transform your life. I want to get some super on the natural right now because your natural is not working in those circumstances. So I want to release and be a dispenser of heavenly favor to transform your world. Every one of us are franchises of the Holy Ghost, flooded and saturated with manifestations of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Joey. Come on, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy. Do you know where I found this? In the Bible. I found it in the Bible. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can prophesy. No, you go to some churches today and they say, you can't prophesy because it's not for today. But that's not in the Bible. But this is, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. How many want to learn? How many want to be encouraged? It's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 2, 18 and 19. Even in those last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, male servants, female servants. Any male people here? Any female people here? Anybody not putting up your hand no matter what? males, females, young, old, every single person, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now, what are they talking about? This is Peter explaining to them what just happened. He's going into the scriptures, into the prophetic words in the old covenant, and he's going and he's saying, this was prophesied, this was declared before, but this is now manifest right here. What you're seeing, these people prophesying and speaking in other tongues and declaring the mysteries of God in your languages supernaturally, this was prophesied, that the Spirit of God would come upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters, your men servants and your woman servants, every single one of those servants. Imagine that, a woman sharing the Word of God. Can you imagine that? My God, what's the world coming to? Imagine a woman teaching men. What is the world coming to? My wife is preaching right now, two services in Uxbridge right now, declaring the Word of God, prophesying over people, sharing words of knowledge, bringing transformational power to their lives. And that is an odd contradiction, because in my Bible, women should be silent. I don't know why I'm there, but I am. The word silent isn't talking about talking, speaking, or volume. It's that we shouldn't have chitter chatter. We don't want chitter chatter going on. If you don't understand that culture, women back then, sadly, were not educated, unless they did some self-education and some other things. They still ran the house and did everything better than the men who were educated. But the men and women didn't eat together. They didn't learn together. They didn't do anything together. If a man in Jewish culture back then had a choice between his woman and his cow, he chose his cow. Strange stuff. That is not the will of God. That is not the will of the Father. But is it a culture where the word came out of? Therefore, we got to understand, when we study things, we really got to dig in and figure it out. And some people go to the word and they bring out the wrong interpretations, sadly. Can I get an amen? Are you in agreement, or are you pausing? Can I get some agreement in the house? George, you're sitting in my chair. It's reserved for me. It's got a nice green reserve thing on it. You know what? I'm going to let you sit there for now. All right. All right. I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy. Say, they shall prophesy. So the Spirit's going to come upon you, and what are you going to do? You're going to prophesy. You're going to prophesy. Now, I love this next phrase. It says, and, conjunction, junction, what's your function? You're going to prophesy, and he will show. You speak, and he will show. You declare things, and heaven will stand and back up your word. And when you speak and you utter the things of God, ba-boom, all of heaven shows up and gives that authority and brings it into manifestation. So if you want some show, how many need some show in your life? I need some show in my life. I need some super on my natural. Then you got to start prophesying. Come on, turn your neighbor and say, you got to start prophesying. Come on. We're going to take our time. We're going to layer this a little bit at a time. I'm going to nail it down so that you get it. Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. I will show you specified new things. Say, new thing. You ever had a new thing? It's new. You ever got new shoes? Remember Wayne Zimmer got new golf shoes one time. First time he wore them, we went out golfing together, and he had those on, and by the ninth hole, he was barefoot. His feet were bleeding and had blisters, because, you know, those new things. He wasn't used to those new things, and they were biting his feet in places that the old shoes didn't bite his feet, and they fit all together different, and his feet were screaming, get off these new things. Sometimes new things do that. You ever done a new thing, and it was a bit awkward? You ever done a new thing and thought the old thing is better? A lot of people do that. You know, behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. It's a new thing. Listen to this. I will show you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve. So if it's a hidden thing kept in reserve, it means it's something God wanted to do, but he didn't tell us about it yet. It was kept in reserve. Do you know there's things God wants to do today that they've been hidden? It says the revealed things are ours, but it's the glory of a king to search out the unseen things. And you know, everything on the scene comes from the unseen. He's going to show you new things. And you know what? This, what I'm reading right now, it's in the Bible. The Bible tells me that God's going to do new things, things that are hidden. So the Bible's telling me that you need to pay attention because God wants to show you new things. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm staying with the old thing. I got this. I don't need new stuff. Well, if you read this, this tells you there's new stuff. So if you really want to honor this, then you got to pay attention to what it says. I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Things which are not known. I didn't know that. I'm only going to believe what I know in the Bible. Well, then you have caged up the revelation of God and subjected God to a page in a book. The Almighty, transcendent God, who fills everything in every way, who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, you have said, God, I accept you as long as you stay within the covers of this. Anyways, I wasn't planning on talking about that. Thank you, Joey. Praise the Lord. Everybody else is dismissed, just me and Joey. Things you didn't know, and listen now, listen. How are they created? How do these things that God wants us to understand now, but they've been hidden until now, how do those new things that are revelation for the body of Christ today, how do they come into manifestation? How are they created? They are created now. Say now. They weren't created before. They're not created later. They're created now. Now faith is. Now is the day of salvation. Now. They are created now. That means called into being by the prophetic word. How are they created? They're created now. How are they created? By the prophetic word. It's in your Bible. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll even, this is amazing, because in Corinthians it says, the Spirit will even reveal to you the unfathomable things of God. Now, I looked up unfathomable, and you know what unfathomable means? It means unfathomable. But the Spirit's going to reveal to you unfathomable things. How many want to walk in the Spirit? You know, I love the Word of God. I preach from it every Sunday. I go hard after this book, if you didn't know. But I go after it. But I'll tell you something. I will not lock him on these pages. Because even these pages, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. Ooh, you feel that? Do you feel that? Let me know the kisses of your mouth. Let me feel your embrace. The kisses of your mouth are when I get into the word, let there be mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Let me know the kisses of your mouth. This is not a stale book. This is a living, breathing revelation of Christ himself. I will guide you into all truth, for the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you, and he will tell you things that are in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. He will tell you things that are in the Bible. Amen. Hello. Man, you've been sitting in church for a long time, eh? You're allowed to say, bah. That's wrong. Rubbish, thank you very much. He will tell you things to come. What does that mean? Tell you things that have not yet been revealed, not yet in manifestation. He'll give you revelation for every day of your life. He'll speak to you about the circumstances you're in. You might find principles. You might see the nature and the character of God. You'll find all kinds of wonderful things to apply to your life, and you need to go deep in the word. You need to, because this has great authority. Sometimes the things you think God is saying, they don't have equal authority, because you need to judge them. You need to figure it out, because there are voices in your world. There's the voice of God, there's the voice of you, and there's the voice of the enemy. And so you got to discern who's speaking. Who said that? Because your conscience is where you share knowledge. And the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience. and it brings you back to a place where you share knowledge with God. So you need to judge everything that is extra-biblical, because if it's extra-biblical, it doesn't have that kind of authority. It has to be judged. It has to be dealt with. It has to be weighed. And we have to figure out, is this the word of God? Amen. A little bit of tension there. Was that good? How many are not paying attention at all? Okay, he will tell you things to come. Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys and the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, which means forbid, declare, say declare, to be improper or unlawful on earth, will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare, permit as lawful in the earth will have already been loosed in heaven. So that's the proper reading of that verse. So you are given authority, you are given keys to lock and to release. But you have to have the voice of God. You have to have a prophetic flow with God. There has to be that flow in your life. Because if it's stuff that's already been loosed and stuff that's already been bound, you've got to know that. So you got to have a revelation. You can't just bind and loose willy-nilly and do whatever you want. You bind what is already bound. You loose what is already loosed. But to understand that and to use your keys properly, you have to have a living, abiding revelation with the living God. That is present, is powerful, accurate, and it's tangible, and it speaks to you right now. Right now. Amen. Amen. Stacy was standing here on the platform, and she said, you know, I just feel like there's people here who need to hear this. There's people here right now who need to hear the faithfulness of God. There's people right now where the situation doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting blacker. But I tell you, God's faithful, and he's going to bring you through. And there's people here who need to hear this. And Stacy felt God is telling her to tell you, you need to pay attention to this. I need to tell you this because God is going to be faithful to you. Now, how many in this place heard that and went, that was good, thank you? No, seriously, if that was, you see, when that was happening, you were going, I needed that right now. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Declare things, bind things up, release things. All right, so little bit of a recap quick. If you're serious about the Bible as the word of God, then you have to let it speak. The Bible says that the clearest form of communication that exists is Jesus. So Jesus is more clear than even the Bible. And so when you get a revelation of Jesus in the Bible, the most wonderful way to get a deep revelation of Jesus is in the Bible. The whole purpose of the Bible was to reveal Jesus. It wasn't to give you pet little verses to beat up your friends with. It was to reveal Jesus, Jesus himself, Jesus on the Bible. Not my opinion, Fred's opinion, George's opinion, as wonderful as it is. It's not that, but Jesus, if Jesus were going to teach the Bible, what would he point out to us? If Jesus was here right now, what would he emphasize in the scriptures? What would he want us to see? He did a 7-mile walk, 7 miles. Went from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, and it says he showed them himself. You know what Jesus wants to point out right here? You know what, when the living word wanted to take the written word and he wanted to break it open to you, what he wanted to show you was himself. If you go to the book and you're not seeing Jesus, you're reading with the wrong lens. All right, was that good? All right, Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus. His glory. It's not something that came upon him. It's that the reality of who he is came into manifestation. And you had Moses there and Elijah was there, but boom, the law and the prophets disappeared. And all that was left was Jesus. There's a new covenant. There's new commandments. And that's what we need to see. This is my son. Listen to him. And that was a great picture of the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist was the greatest of the old covenant prophets. His words, his prophetic utterances, they were old covenant. They weren't for today. Old covenant. And he was the greatest of the old covenant prophets. But even every believer after that, every believer after that is greater than John the Baptist. Of all the prophets, everyone, go back, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, all these great prophets, every one of them, wow, deep revelation. He says John the Baptist was the greatest of them all, and yet John the Baptist has nothing on you. Isn't that amazing? You are greater than any one of the Old Testament prophets. You walk in more revelation, more open heaven, more than any one of them. You are more powerful, have more revelation, more ability than any one of the Old Covenant prophets. you. Are you guys excited or what? You seem like you're like bewildered. It's like, I rebuke the spirit of religion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sola Scriptura. I love the Reformation. I love it that it brought sola fide, faith alone. I love that. But they also, they were recoiling from massive abuses in the church, massive abuses of authority, where these authorities said things and they superseded even Scripture. I mean, if the leaders of the day and the religious leaders said it, then you had to obey it. But, you know, they came up with something else, sola scriptura. So what they said was, we're not having any extra biblical manifestations. It's the Bible and the Bible alone. And I understand that they recoiled from incredible abuses, but they pulled away from anything extra biblical. And you see, when that sola scriptura is misapplied, it leads to a powerless, powerless church. Reducing the words of the Bible is too small. The word, the living word, the logos, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the Father, the one and only. The transcendent cannot be stuck inside of a book. It's too small. Scripture is a witness. Christ is the word made flesh. The page can testify. The spirit must illuminate. The letter can point, but the living God must speak. John 21:25. And there are so many other things that Jesus did, which if they were all written one by one, I suppose that even the whole world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. That's the word. That's the word that came out of the word. Here's my Bible. It's a big one. It's because I can't see that little 7 font anymore. You know what I mean? That little tiny one. So it's a bit bigger, and it's got some big margins. But you see, this cannot contain the full revelation of God. This cannot reveal to us everything that Jesus did and everything he said. John is saying, I just gave you a snapshot. There's so much more. But imagine this little book that multiplied so many times that it literally filled the whole globe. Even that couldn't contain. That's wild. That's wild. And yet we want to say, keep it right in there. If it ain't in there. Are you okay? Do I feel, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on? Oh, you're soaking. Thank you very much. All right. Many other things. The world couldn't contain it. The word was never meant to be trapped on a page. It was meant to become alive in you. When the living word is heard in your heart and the letter becomes a doorway instead of a cold tool, instead of a proof text to bludgeon others with. Amen. I had a whole bunch of proof texts today to bludgeon you with, to get you into my world. You can all prophesy. Did you feel that? How many felt that one kind of hammer you into a different spot? We can all prophesy. Yeah, we can all prophesy. Boom. I didn't know that. I don't know if I like that. Is he expecting me to prophesy? Yes. Werner, can you guys hear me back there? All right, just checking. All right. The scripture was never given to replace the voice of God, to end a personal encounter, or to reduce relationship to reading. The scripture was given to reveal Christ, sharpen discernment, to anchor us in truth, to protect us from deception. So the scripture is not an enemy of encounter. It is the framework of that keeps your encounter pure. Say amen, Pastor. Say it's a very, very safe place to be in a place called in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Amen. So what does Jesus do on the road to Emmaus with those fellows? He doesn't just explain the scripture. He deconstructs their version of God. They were walking away because their version of God, they were disappointed by what Jesus did. He didn't fit what they expected God to do. And so even though they were told he's risen, he's alive, they still said, yeah, that cross thing, that was shameful. I mean, that was all messy. We're so disappointed. And they were walking away from their destiny. But thank God, even when you're walking away from your destiny, he catches up with you. Has anybody ever been walking away? I've been walking away. Many times I've been walking away, but you know what? He catches up with me. Hey, what are we doing over here? I've been on so many 7-mile walks. Well, I lied. They've been about 700 feet. Say, we're still walking, Jesus? Can we sit down? I'm like, okay. Thank you, Joey, Jen, and George. All right. This is where many people resist. The brakes go on. Sometimes the brakes go on, because if you're hearing something that is beyond the construct of what's got you to where you are, but will not take you further. If you're at a place where your version of God is being challenged, that's where we all put the brakes on. I put the brakes on. You challenge my version of God, I pause. You say things that I've never quite heard that way. If it's something new, it's like new shoes. Your sermon right now is causing my feet to blister. Anybody? I see that hand. This is where many resist, because we don't mind learning, but we do mind losing the version of God that makes us comfortable. Wow, that was good. Just take a picture of that and put it out on Twitter and say underneath it, oh me. Okay, eisegesis. Say eisegesis. 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 Amen? How many are okay with actually getting a bit of theology? Eisegesis. Who needs me to stop and just tell a joke just to kind of loosen everything up? I heard no, stop. Okay. All right. Eisegesis. The process of interpreting a text by introducing one's own subjective assumptions, biases, or personal agenda into it. Simply defined, reading into the text. So I open my Bible and I read a text and then I say, you know, this is what this is saying. But I say it through the filter of my beliefs, my backgrounds, and even things that have been taught me to this point. So we all approach the scripture with a bias. All of us do. All of us have been raised, brought up, or we've heard certain things. Most of us still don't even understand the gospel. We think the gospel is simply get out of hell free card. That ain't the gospel. Ain't even close to the gospel. And if you think that's the gospel, please call me and we'll have a coffee. All right, so eisegesis. A lot of people, when they approach the word, it's eisegesis when it should be exegesis. Say ex-Jesus. Exegesis is the critical interpretation of a biblical text to discover its original intent and meaning by examining the context, usage, and setting, and drawing out of the text instead of reading into the text. So don't go with a concept of, I'd like to prove something. Let's see if I can find a verse that proves what I believe. And that's what a lot of people do. And if you do that, you could go and find the four corners of the earth, and you could join the Flat Earth Society. And people who are in the Flat Earth Society do use that verse to prove that they are right. Da-da-da! Exegesis is where we let the text speak. Let the Holy Spirit take that. Let him speak to you. Don't approach it with a bias or a previous understanding or something some, don't mean to be rude, but some dumb teacher has put on your head. Some of us need to repent of crappy theology. Are you okay? All right, I'm going to bring this to a rapid conclusion. Oh my goodness. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I will. Year 367 AD. Why was that an important time? Because that was when the canon of scripture was completed. So that's when a group of people got together and they decided which books would go in this Bible. So a whole bunch of guys got in a room and they had, I think it was five different criteria they looked at, and they analyzed books and decided which ones they felt were inspired by God. They were all written by human beings, every one of them, but those human beings were inspired by God. Here's Luke's inspiration. You ready? Luke's inspiration for writing his gospel. It seemed good to me, Theophilus, to write this down. It seemed like a good idea. That's what he said. But his seeming good ended up being canonized in 367. He wrote a letter about Jesus, a gospel about Jesus, because he knew people that hung around with him. He knew people that had witnessed him. So Luke said, I could write a pretty good version of Jesus' history in his life. So he did. And these were all written down, and they were sent around, and people would share them and read them and talk about them to one another and encourage them with these letters. But at 367, a group of church leaders got together and said, this is canon. Now nothing will be added to it. It is locked down. That is it. Amen. So here's what they also did. They also took this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So what they decided was, now that we have this, in that text it says, prophecies will cease, tongues will cease, all spiritual manifestations will cease because we have this. And that's what they did. Did you know that? That's what they did. So it is a, say, false assumption. On that false assumption, they said, with his word defined, we don't need any extra biblical manifestations. So Stacy, if you don't mind, sing the chorus, but don't tell us the Lord is speaking. Shut up. Stacy, over here, I didn't really mean that. Well, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for me to sing over you and say, hear the Lord, this is the Lord's voice, and me to sing over you in first person like I am God. Well, here's the thing that the word says, when you speak, speak as an oracle of God. I grew up, prophecy was all first person. I hear some guy stand up and he'd talk like he was God. It used to confuse me as a kid because I went, man, who's Jack think he is? My God, settle down, Jack. You know, you were in my parents' living room fighting with each other last night, and now you're thus saith the Lord. I mean, wow. I mean, you need to get your crap together before you start talking like you're the Almighty. Can I get an amen? And honestly, that's a good word. You need to get your crap together before you start talking like you're the Almighty. How perfect do I need to be to prophesy? I mean, how good does it have to be? I mean, how perfect does my life have to be to say, thus saith the Lord? Not very. In fact, when you won't use your mouth, he'll use a jackass. He'll use a rooster. He said, if you don't do it, I'll make the rocks cry out. Wow, Desmond, we're getting into some meddling today. All right, it's a false assumption. Cessationism, say cessationism. How many have ever heard that word before? How many have never heard that word before? Probably 90% of our seminaries, I was going to say cemeteries, but seminaries are where they teach this. And they teach against extra-biblical manifestations. So cessationism is a man-made tradition and man-made doctrine. And it is this. It is the view that miracle gifts and tongues and healing have ceased. Over! That the end of the apostolic age brought about cessation and the miracles associated with that age. Most cessationists believe that while God can and still does perform miracles today, the Holy Spirit no longer uses individuals to perform miraculous signs. There'll be random times when God gets to, on his own, come out of heaven and touch somebody. Random little expressions of God, but he doesn't use us anymore. We are not the vehicles that do that. No longer does the Bible mean that you can lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. That now is left up to random events that every once in a while, God pops out of heaven and he goes, you be healed. The rest of us, oh God, when's it my turn? It's your turn right now. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you see, you can go to some places, I know why they don't speak in tongues. I know why they don't pray for healing. I know why they don't cast out demons, because they don't believe it. And they don't believe it intentionally. And that's why they call me and say, can I send this demon-possessed person over to you? And I say, yes, I'll clean it up and send it back. And what amazes me is that I get those calls, they send the people, and yet they still don't believe in it, but they do believe in enough that I believe it and that that person needs help. Sadly, that they have no idea how to function in. Cessationism, they're not for today. Most cessationists believe that while God still performs, it's random, just pops in every once in a while. He does not use individuals. The Westminster Confession, Huron College, an Anglican institution, they are subject to the confessions of their faith. And this is from the Westminster Confession, section 1, and it's from their section on the Holy Scriptures. Here's what they say about the Holy Scriptures. They say that those former ways of God revealing his will now have ceased. What they're saying in that, they're saying that now that we have the Bible, all those other extra-biblical things like God speaking prophetically or God sharing a word of wisdom or knowledge, any spiritual gift or revelation, healing or any demonstration of God is now ceased. How many would like that not to be so? Three people. Wow. I'm going to preach this sermon again next week. Continuationism. That is a theological word. And that's where we live. It is the belief that spiritual gifts include healing, tongues, miracles, are still in operation today. Just as they were in the days of the early church, a continuous believes that the spiritual gifts have continued unabated since the day of Pentecost, and that the demonstration of signs, wonders, and miracles as witnessed by and in the apostolic era are the hallmark, are the defining point. They tell you that you're actually in a church. They are the hallmark that you're in a house of God. They are the hallmark of today's church as well. Amen. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. We are members of his household built on the foundation of apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So we have the foundation, apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone where it all started is Jesus. Now a cessationist goes to this verse and says, the foundation was laid by the apostles and the prophets, and therefore we don't need them today. So they have a threefold ministry, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but no more apostles and prophets because they were foundational gifts and they don't have to be manifest anymore because the foundation is laid. The foundation is still being laid. There's still new works. There's still new things. There's still God reaching all kinds of places. Apostles and prophets are still for today. If this says apostles and prophets aren't for today, then in the same context of bringing that application, then I guess Jesus as the chief cornerstone is not necessary either. Does anybody see that? It is such a lame argument. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people for works of service. Sadly, we think the fivefold ministry does the ministry. Fivefold ministry doesn't do the ministry. It equips the saints to do the ministry. We are equipping ministries. We are not doing ministries. Everybody sits here and watches the fivefold ministry perform. Come back weeks. I'm going to juggle fire. But we're here, we have these meetings to equip you to be God and to fill your neighborhoods, your workplaces with him. We're equipping you for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up until, say until. This tells you when it's no longer going to be available. This is when it's no longer needed. It's going to happen until we all reach unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the stature of Christ. Does anybody think the church has arrived there yet? Then it means every single one of the gifts of Christ are necessary for today. Okay, I'm going to go quicker. Mark 16, 17, and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers here? They'll follow you who believe, except on 367, that day, they will stop following you because it's unnecessary now because we have the Bible. No, that's not what it says. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers here today? If you believe in his name, you'll cast out devils, you'll speak in tongues, you'll lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Acts 5, 12 to 16, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Also, multitudes gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and all those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Romans 15, 19, they were convinced. Paul saying, listen, I preached all over the place, everywhere, and they were convinced. How were they convinced, Paul? How did you convince them that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's come to deliver them from death and bring life and power? What? How did you do it, Paul? I did it by the power, say power. I did it by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. How do you fully present the gospel? In power. If the gospel does not have power, it's not fully manifest. Can I get an amen, please? Golly gee, Lord Jesus. I don't know what they were doing last night, but God. Power. In this way, I fully presented the good news. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is, it's not word. It's not logos. The kingdom of God is power. 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 The kingdom of God is not a Bible study. The kingdom of God is not a discussion about parsing verbs and checking out this and the little jot and tittle that's above that little thing in the Greek word. The kingdom is not talk. The kingdom is dunamis. The kingdom is power. What does dunamis mean? God's inerrant miraculous strength active in believers. Amen? I'd rather have a believer who only knows John 3:16. That's the only verse they know. but knows that I can walk in power than one who can recite to you the whole Bible. The Pharisees could recite the whole Bible. They memorized the whole thing. Jesus said, you went to the scriptures looking for eternal life. It's not there. It's me, and I'm right in front of you, and you won't accept me. The whole purpose of scriptures is to lead you to Jesus. Jesus. All right, we're going to wrap it up really quick. Did I say that 3 or 4 times yet? Okay, I'm getting really close. 2 basic types of prophecy. You ready? Forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling is proclaiming the revealed word, calling it into manifestation. That was a lot about what's here today. A lot of it was declaring the word, speaking the word, singing the word over people. And you know what? That's the best kind of prophecy because God watches over his word to perform it. So, you know, if you give my dad's favorite prophecy he ever received his whole life, prophet came up and stood in front of him and said, study to show yourself approved, a man who need not show any shame because he understands the word of truth. And the prophet walked away. But that word changed his life. And it was a confession of a scripture. Forthtelling, proclaiming the revealed word, calling it into manifestation. Foretelling, predicting events before they happen. Calling forth a present day revelation. As ministering in Nova Scotia, and while I was preaching, I began to preach and I realized that I'm not even in the room anymore. And I realized that I am confronting a throne and a dominion in that region. And so as I was preaching, I said, listen, I'm going to keep preaching. You keep listening, but I'm addressing a demonic throne in this region right now. And I'm confronting it and calling it out. And I continued to preach. And when I was finished, I said, and let this be a sign to you. There is a natural deposit in this region. It'll be on the front page of the newspaper. And you know that what just happened here was done. And that throne has been cast down and it will never limit you again, but you'll move forward and this church shall prosper because that throne is dealt with once and for all. I said, and this will be a sign to you in this region. On the front page of the newspaper, you're going to get a sign and it's going to say there's a deposit of natural resources in this area that was unknown to this point, but it's been found and it's a very interesting finding. And I did all of that prophetically. As I'm saying it, I'm literally going, if that don't happen, you're in trouble. But the pastor took a picture and he sent me it a couple days later. Surprisingly, an incredible uranium find has been found in the ground here in Nova Scotia. Very shocking. Never thought that would be there before, but it's a significant find. And I went, wow. Thus saith the Lord. I could tell you a whole bunch more stories, but I can't. The gospel is not complete if it's only explained. It must be demonstrated. Are you guys still here? All right, it's going to be a good close, so pay attention. If the gospel stays in words, it stays distant. When it moves in power, it becomes present. We are not called to explain fire. We're called to carry the fire. We don't just preach what God did. We demonstrate what he's doing. What he's doing. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what is Jesus doing. Because he's doing stuff right now. And if he's going to do it, he's going to do it through you. 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 We demonstrate what he's doing. A preached gospel informs, but a demonstrated gospel transforms. It's right on the sign out front. Transforming lives to impact their world. Amen. Mark 16:20, they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs.